Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. In the spotlight on Money FM 89.3.
You're listening to Primetime on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. And yes, it's finally Friday. Woo-hoo. And what a week, JP. Well, it's time to unwind and possibly enjoy a wee dram of whiskey.
Well, just a second. You might want to check the bottle before you do, Rachel, because that dram of whiskey could be worth a pretty penny. Take it, for instance, that last year, a bottle from Macallan, I'm a little surprised about this, made headlines for hitting $1.9 million at an auction. And the successful bidder for that bottle is not the only one looking to bank, but rather than drink their whiskey.
Well, that's definitely a little bit out of my budget, JP. Well, Rare Single Malts, a private equity whiskey fund, has announced it's begun capital raising in Hong Kong. It offers professional investors access to mature and rare single malt Scotch whiskey assets. And we're joined on the line by Murray Holgate, and he's the general partner of Rare Single Malts. Murray, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much, Rachel. Hi, JP. How are you?
Good evening. We're doing well. Thank you very much. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thank you very much. Just enjoying a dram of whiskey on a Friday afternoon.
Oh, trying to make us jealous, aren't you, sir?
I know. We're still in the studio. Hold on. Okay, so...
I wish I was there. I wish I could share it with you.
Next time. No, so, Murray, tell us, what kind of demand is there for investing in whiskey? You know, people enjoy a drink, but what about actually having it as an investment asset class?
I guess you have to look at the rare end of the market. I guess you can subcategorize investing in whiskey down to three categories. So I guess you start with the romance side of it, people that already have collections and looking to build to it. The second part of it, you know, whiskey connoisseurs, those guys that do have the cash to actually invest in really expensive bottles and share it with their friends. And the last side of it is professional investors, where, you know, people that just see the pure investment value in whiskey at the end of the day. I mean, some of those guys, they won't even drink alcohol, won't even drink whiskey. They just see it as an asset class.
Yeah, and that is an interesting point that I wanted to bring up, Murray, because does a whiskey lover automatically make a good whiskey investor? And are these the types of investors that might be ideal investors into your fund?
I guess what we do in the fund side of things is what you're doing by investing is leveraging our expertise in what is an investment grade style of whiskey. There's personal taste that goes into these things, but at the end of the day, personal taste isn't always the best investment. What we look for is rarity equals returns. We see this as liquid gold. You only have to kind of look back to the 80s and 90s, and you look at the distilleries that we're sort of invested in, the blue chip, the strong contenders, and see that, you know, 30, 40 years later, it was impossible to try and predict the take-up in the market on the rare end. So that's what is... we're really trying to focus on in the fact that there's not much whiskey around of this sort of value anymore.
Okay, so Murray, maybe you can tell us what makes a rare whiskey. I mean, obviously, supply is one. Are you looking at the age of the whiskey? What kind of numbers would you have to look at to make it an investment grade whiskey? What kind of quantity are we looking at?
I think sticking with like the blue chips obviously makes sense. You have to really sort of break it down. And also, taste does come into the elements of it. Vintage, quantity, quality and brand at the end of the day. Just like any sorts of these investments, you really have to look at who's done it well, who's got the track record, and why is it going to perform in the future.
And what kind of performance have you seen, Murray? Because I was looking at the release in the email that was sent across, and it said, you know, the value of whiskey's increased by 582% mm-hmm. in some cases, and that was over a 10-year period. How realistic are these numbers if you're looking forward?
This is the funny part about it, is it is actually realistic, and these are real numbers. This was picked up by various whiskey indexes. This is, you know, Knight Frank has picked it as the best alternative investment on the planet, for example. It's those sorts of numbers that actually sort of people shy away from, but they're genuine. That's the data that's backs up this sort of investment. And particularly we're looking at casks. Now, the thing about casks, especially at that end of the market, is they increase in value year on year based upon the complexity of the liquid within it reacting with the oak. Now, for example, with a wine, the wine will get better with age based upon being in a bottle. It doesn't mm-hmm. happen like that with whiskey. So taking a strategy where you're investing in cask over other things is almost like a natural hedge against the macro market.
Right. And, you know, it's very interesting also because I'm sure you've noticed just how rattled and how rocked markets have been. Or we look at the broader and more traditional equity classes. And this thing that I just found the other night, Murray, the Rare Whiskey Apex 1000 index, actually, when you track them year to date, though markets are down, they're actually up by about 4.5%. So there's definite demand. What do you think is underpinning the resilience and the actual flourishing of rare whiskeys during this time, and whether or not you think these price gains will actually sustain themselves as we in this throughout this year and the next?
Well, I guess it just comes down to safety. I think that without repeating myself, you know, in times of uncertainty, people do look for a flight to safety. If traditional assets have let people down, then you're going to look for more safe aspects, those that are outside the usual bounds of traditional investment. Now, whiskey has obviously come forward as a, not to, it's supply and demand. More people are getting involved in this market at the rarer end. Therefore, it's naturally driving prices up because there's less supply.
So maybe, Murray, you can talk us through how this is actually going to work. As you mentioned, you invest in casks. So where are these casks stored? Maybe you can share with us what kind of whiskies do you have as part of the fund? What's the quantity? Walk us through it.
So it's a standard fund that is effectively an asset-backed investment. What we've got that's unique to others is the fact that we have an ecosystem of 20 years' worth of collectors that have bought casks. We concentrate on the secondary market in particular, and that's why we can access stock that maybe other people can't, and we look to put them within effectively just a traditional partnership that people can access via Asia, that if they wanted to get involved in whiskey and go to someone in Scotland, they wouldn't be able to do so. The whiskey is generally stored in, you know, reputable, basically bonded warehouses, effectively, mm-hmm. and every cask is registered with the HMRC. It's one of the most regulated spirit markets out there. So Scotch whiskey over other whiskies, for example, you can only invest in it if it stays in Scotland, if it's registered with the HMRC, if you have insurance for that cask, and it can never leave Scotland. So it also helps hedge against the fact there might be, you know, the authentication process. It can hedge against verification against that as well. So it's very, very, very small amount of risk for, I guess, fakes, for example, in that market. And that's why we've chosen this, it's particularly the cask that in insured warehousing.
I just have a quick question as well. You know, they talk about when you're storing whiskey in casks, you've always got the angel's share. To what extent do you account for that as well?
So the angel's share, generally speaking, would be about 2% per year. You also have, you know, the alcoholic volume goes down by about 0.5% per year. So this is what makes it really interesting when you get past 30 years. You lose bottles per year, and so it's not every single cask that can make it to 40 years, make it to 50 years. There's certain freaks of nature, so you've actually got a subset of rarity within a subset of rarity.
Murray, let's talk about just how liquid this market actually is. For investors who might be interested to go in, and yeah, I mean, it's an obvious and very convenient pun for us to make, right? But exactly how liquid has the whiskey investing market become? And what kind of liquidity can some of these investors expect?
So even if you were buying, you know, a personal cask, for example, you'd look for 2 to 3 years worth of investment before you could realize a real return. Now, what we're looking to do is trade the cask. The cask trading market in the secondary area is what's new, for example. The volumes speak for themselves at auction, for example. 5 years ago, there was maybe one or two cask online auction sites. There's now 10. The value of casks that are traded within auctions just online alone are up 40%. And this is what's creating this liquidity, is the fact that there's better exit strategies and attaching brokerage to this as well. You're only increasing the ability to trade within a market. And that's what's creating the liquidity that didn't exist before.
We're speaking to Murray Holgate, general partner at Rare Single Malts Whiskey. So, Murray, can you tell us for somebody who's listening into this, for your fund, what are the potential exit strategies for the fund itself? You, as you mentioned, 15 years, you're investing in 15 years, 40 years. What's down the line?
So if you just look at every single cask that we buy into has a particular exit strategy. So you've got to hit those premium years, right? And that's the point. So if you buy a cask at 17, you want to hold it to 21. At 19, to you know, at 24 years of age, you might want to hold the cask to 30. And this is where what we try and do and try and create value based upon that. I think it's very simplistic. Rarity equals returns, and making sure that, you know, if you're going to bottle something, you bottle it, you know, at the right year and maybe hold back. So if you've got 300 bottles in a particular cask and you buy something at 39 years of age and at 40 years of age, you'll sell 100 bottles each year, driving the price up 30% per year. Control the market, control the supply.
And finally, Murray, I'm just very curious. What is your favorite whiskey right now?
Well, I'm very much a sherry man. I think at the moment, I would suggest that Bowmore 21 is probably one of my faves. I actually recently gifted a bottle of that for a friend's bro shower, and it was very well received.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your time, Murray. It's been fantastic talking to you. Have a great weekend.
Excellent. Thanks so much, guys. Look forward to speaking to you soon.
We've been speaking to Murray Holdgate, general partner at Rare Single Malt Whiskey.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.